is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think.
Chapter 12, House of Rejuvenation. Two demon attendants are at the end of the hall, one with a golden-robed Huanhua Palace sect disciple over their shoulder, displaying that easy demonic strength that never really stops being unnerving. Ah, Shang Qinghua gets through this life without screaming too often, mainly by just not thinking about how many of the people he meets could punch clean through his ribcage with their bare hands. Yeah, he could do it too. Maybe. But, look, he personally thinks a lot of cultivators out there would be way better off if they were properly freaked the fuck out by a relatively thin woman easily benching a full-grown man and that sort of thing. Some cultivators out there, cough, Liu fucking Qinga, cough, need a healthy dose of self-preserving fear in their lives. Some develop mental blocks. Trim the old self-esteem before that superpowers-induced confidence gets someone killed. Anyway, this situation sucks. But then, the demon attendants, still chatting with each other, start walking down the hall toward Shang Qinghua. Shang Qinghua ducks out of sight before their heads can turn forward too. Nope. Nope, 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 nope. He scoops up his nephew, crouched not too far behind him, with a little fist pressed against his mouth, and grabs Luo Jiahui's hand. Shang Qinghua races, silently, silently, back to the room they just escaped, puts Binghe down, lets Jiahui go, and closes the door. Silently. Silently. Behind them. The young protagonist is obviously confused by why they're going backwards, but his adoptive mother is wide-eyed with understanding that something has gone wrong. Demons! Shang Qinghua hisses. Lady Xia's attendants are demons! Luo Jiahui presses her own fist to her mouth to stifle her gasp. Shang Qinghua is absolutely not calm about this shitty fucking development in his shitty fucking disaster of a transmigration into a shitty fucking world created by a dumbass hack and managed by a broken robot somebody should have dropped in a bathtub at initiation. But he has to pretend to stay calm for the baby. So he mimes, zipping his lips at Binghe as he draws his sword. Binghe stares at him, alarmed, and Luo Jiahui hurries over to sit next to him on the floor. Ah, right, no zippers here. Shang Qinghua doesn't slip up with modern gestures and speech nearly as much as he used to. Back in his second childhood, when he was first trying to reconcile two lifetimes and a no-good transmigration system inside one head. But he's never been able to fully conceal his unshakable oddness. It slips out at all the wrong moments. Then again, it's not really the zipping gesture that's the issue here. Shang Qinghua kneels on the floor, then reaches into his sleeves and at his belt for his Tianqun pouch. The paranoid man who packs like he's preparing to be trapped in a demon-infested inn is a fool every day but one, and that one shitty day is very important. Luo Jiahui already has a knife on her person, but Shang Qinghua slides another one at her, because in his opinion, the only time you don't want to have at least two knives on your person is going through airport security, even if it makes you look suspicious if you're caught in the middle of a murder mystery investigation. Back up, he mouths at her, and she nods, keeping it away from Binghe. Shang Ching Hua would love to drape them both in every anti-demon defense measure ever invented, except that's not really an option. For obvious Bing-He-shaped reasons. So that leaves more, offensive methods. Oh, this room has no fucking windows. That's suspicious as fuck. And Shang Ching Hua can't believe he didn't clock this place's lack of windows earlier. When they get home safe and sound, he's not entering a room without at least two exits and or a simple method of making an additional emergency exit ever again. Any meeting without windows, he'll just nope the fuck out. Fuck, he hates this. He hates this, he hates this, he hates this! Shang Ching Hua listens at the door for the demon attendants. Hears the pair of footsteps coming closer at an unhurried pace. Dulled sounds form into dulled words, which form into a conversation about whether there will be enough food to go around and whether they should turn back. Shang Ching Hua stays painfully still. The conversation passes them, with the footsteps following. He presses spiritual energy into one of the talismans laid out on the floor and waits. But the conversation doesn't stop, and the footsteps don't pause for the use of spiritual energy. The sounds instead drifting away and beginning to fall apart again. Shang Ching Hua makes a gesture for his family to stay put, then carefully, silently picks up the other talismans he's laid out and slips silently out the door. He can do this. He can do this. It's just like any other stupid fucking stealth mission. The hall is clear except for the demon attendants, who have now passed their room, and Shang Ching Hua doesn't allow a third set of footsteps to reach their ears. It takes a flick of his hand to send a talisman to each of their backs, which paralyzes their bodies, which overbalances them. That really surprised Shang Ching Hua the first time he paralyzed anyone like this. There are different types of traps which can completely freeze a person on the spot, including some which say, fuck gravity, we don't listen to gravity in this house. But when you directly tag a person mid-motion like this, they tend to fall on their face. It's always tragically inelegant, really. All the people Shang Ching Hua has ever seen faint into a graceful pose, with their robes artfully strewn around them, have been totally faking. Like, oh wow, do you practice that shit? Real people, in Shang Ching Hua's experience, tend to fall like a sack of vegetables. He's already moving forward when the talismans activate. No time to waste! It takes a swing of the sword to decapitate one of the demon attendants before the body even hits the floor. Shang Ching Hua then catches the other by the back of her robes with his free hand, allowing the Huan Hua Palace sect disciple to slip off her shoulder and to the floor first. And then another swing of the sword removes the second demon attendant's head too. He puts the headless body quietly aside. Look, he never would have made it to the position of Peak Lord if he wasn't actually capable of being at least a little bit dangerous. To some people, at least. To be a scum traitor who causes unforgivable damage to his sect in the future, with hopes of surviving afterwards, he needs to be capable of performing some very literal, very subtle backstabbing. Ah, sure, sure. These poor demon attendants might be innocent, and this might just be a weird misunderstanding. But Shang Ching Hua doesn't trust that damn hack called airplane shooting towards the sky. His shitty system said survive. That's pretty unambiguous. He's also pretty sure that these demon attendants were talking about taking this fresh meat to the kitchens, and he doubts they were just looking for taste testers. It's a weird fucking world when cannibalism is the most reasonable assumption to make there, but that's the world he lives in now. Shang Ching Hua's nephew is here, and he's not taking any risks, thanks. Early protagonist's death will result in consequences.
I know that, thanks. Fuck you, he thinks.
Shang Ching Hua kind of wishes, watching the blood spill over the floor, that killing people wasn't so... He doesn't want to say easy, but... Wow, the world just fucking lets you do it, huh? When it comes down to it, the system never even gives him a pop-up window like, bro, are you sure you want blood on your hands? It just happens, like slaughtering any other animal. Ah, souls are confirmed to exist and persist in the world of Proud Immortal Demon Way, so it's not so bad for these ladies, he reasons to himself, as always. He mentally prods the system to deal with them fairly when putting them through the local reincarnation cycle, and calls that his due diligence here. He'll apologize later if he's in the wrong here. The demon attendants' bodies and heads, ugh, go into the nearest empty room. A blood-sucking talisman is left to soak up the puddle on the hall floor, a favorite of the butchers of Xi Zhao Peak. Good for storing blood for later use, like for potions or bait. Also good for cleanup, though a faint stain may be inevitable. Shang Qinghua commits the demonic markings on their foreheads to memory. They're low-ranking demons, clearly, wearing extra paint around their markings to show their service to a particular high-ranking demon. Yeah, he would never realistically get that kind of drop on the likes of Mo Bei Jun, that's for sure. Though, admittedly, he's never really tried. A quick pat-down of the bodies reveals nothing useful on their persons. I deserve loot, don't I, system bro? Shang Qinghua thinks miserably. This is a mission, eh? Shouldn't I get a convenient set of master keys or an even more important map of this shitty level? Some handwritten note giving me exposition for this demon takeover? No? Well, fuck you too, bro. One weird thing. The demon attendants look older than he would have expected. Proud Immortal Demon Way tended towards women who looked eternally 19 and were totally down to pa-pa-pa with the Stegan protagonist. But this realized version of a Hacks web novel definitely doesn't follow the strict limitations of all women are either young children, marriageable maidens, wicked stepmothers, middle-aged mothers, or old crones. Yet it still strikes him as a little odd, somehow, that these demons both look, at least by human standards, in their early 50s. Totally still trying to look 20-50s, but still. Something about it wants to remind him of something else, but he really can't remember what exactly. At a loss, Shang Qinghua scoops up the blood-sucking talisman, then the Huanhua Palace sect disciple, then returns to his family. Luo Jiahui is clearly so relieved to see him alive that it makes his chest hurt. Luo Binghe opens his mouth to say something before he remembers to keep quiet, and so waves uncertainly at Shang Qinghua instead. Shang Qinghua offers his nephew a thumbs up as he closes the door behind him. Shang Qinghua puts the disciple down on the bed. The young man isn't actually dead, just unconscious and slightly bloodstained now. He doesn't even appear injured, though the possibility of poison or venom is still up in the air. Shang Qinghua supposes the demons were, being very compliant to the demons like their food as fresh as possible trope. The young man has light brown skin, dark brown hair, and is, Shang Qinghua would guess, 20 years old maybe? Could be only 18 or 19 for all he knows. A young college bro, with the sort of average good-looking face that would immediately be typecast as a, I have five cars and it's a miracle people haven't keyed them all to shit yet, guy. Though, admittedly, maybe Shang Qinghua is biased, based on that spectacular display of entitlement and bad decision-making outside. If this guy had been a disciple of Anding Peak, Shang Qinghua would probably have named him Disciple Eyebrows Extra Thick. In blissful unconsciousness, it's really obvious this guy is just a kid. Shangqing Hua gives the kid a zap of spiritual energy. Easy trick, super useful, great for disrupting illusions and hypnosis, for shocking rude people under plausible deniability as a static shock, and for waking up hungover cultivators sprawled out under the wrong tree or disciples who have fallen asleep at their desks. The Huanhua Palace sect disciple comes awake suddenly and immediately lashes out at Shangqing Hua. Clumsily, though, and weakly. It's no trouble to catch the guy's arm, shove him back down on the bed, and hiss, "We're not demons, I just saved your life, calm down!" The disciple stops struggling and blinks blearily around the room.
"Where? My shirty? Oh no, I need... They're going to..."
Shangqing Hua shoves him back onto the bed again. "Stay quiet. All the demons aren't dealt with yet," he whispers in his best serious shifu voice. "I need you to tell me exactly why Huanhua Palace sect is investigating this place, what you saw before you got knocked out, and anything else you know." The disciple shoves at him, hissing, "I don't have to answer to you." Shangqing Hua backs off. The disciple finally notices Luo Jiahui and Luo Bingha and goes extra wide-eyed, while Shangqing Hua fumbles to bring out his Tang Chong Mountain Sect spiritual seal. He holds it out for the disciple to see, so the kid can go extra, extra wide-eyed as he realizes exactly who he's talking to. Yeah, that's right. Someone important. "I'm Lord Shangqing Hua of Anding Peak of Chang Chong Mountain Sect. Sure, you don't have to answer me, but if you want to get out of here alive, disciple, you're going to want to."
"Immortal Master Shang," the kid stammers,
fumbling to bow and pretty much falling on his face in a heap of golden robes instead. Whoops, overdid the serious Shifu voice, maybe. Shangqing Hua pulls the disciple off the floor, now wishing that his 6-year-old nephew wasn't here specifically so he could curse. "Don't do that," he hisses, crouching down in front of the kid, putting his spiritual seal safely away. "I don't need you to bow and scrape. Not useful. I need your help and you need mine. So let's act super calm about this and help each other out here, eh?" The disciple nods frantically. "Great, we're on the same page. What's your name?" The Huanhua Palace sect disciple's name is Duan Tianyu. Character profile updated. Duan Tianyu. The disciple doesn't know what exactly is wrong here either, only that the palace master is interested in their rumored ability to restore youth to even the mundane man, and is concerned by the whispers of potential wickedness at the heart of it. Duan Tianyu has been tasked with investigating, and if the House of Rejuvenation's techniques are sufficiently dangerous, confiscating their tools or reporting back to his sect. They had no idea to expect demons. Shangqing Hua doesn't remember much about the return to Lin Luo Town plotline in the original Proud Immortal Demon way, but he's pretty fucking sure that it didn't have demons. The scum villain evil stepmother character of that plotline was human. The innocent stepdaughter or justice-seeking cultivator wife character for the protagonist to rescue was human. The only demon on the scene was the protagonist. It was definitely one of those, humans can be scum too, and even worse monsters than demons if they want to be. Everyone can, and probably will be, selfish and greedy and cruel, so trust no one, plot lines. Nothing that Duan Tianyu tells him now explains what the fuck is going on here in terms of Proud Immortal Demon Way plot lines. Super unhelpful.
I've been hoping to become the new head disciple, Duan Tianyu admits, his eyes actually shiny and his voice hoarse now. I thought that if I could impress the palace master with my success here, then I might have a better chance.
He really hasn't replaced his head disciple yet? Shangqing Hua asks.
He's a little surprised, but also not surprised at all. Duan Tianyu shakes his head. Not officially, but our Shuqia has been dead for over 7 years now, and I want to make her proud, but I've led us into the teeth and claws of demons instead. Oh, fuck. The kid actually sniffles, and it doesn't look like crocodile tears, which is not surprising. When this disciple knows that his mistakes have basically handed his junior martial siblings to the demons on a silver platter. It's like this kid's pride was this big, swollen balloon that's been popped, especially with a peerless immortal cultivator here to witness all his fuck-ups. You didn't think to do a little reconnaissance here? Zhang Qinghua says. Sure, he didn't do extensive reconnaissance here either, but in his defense, they just came to pick up one person and leave. 5 minutes, in and out. Spying on the common people is what keeps you alive, Zhang Qinghua says, horrified. Holy shit, my disciples would... Zhang Qinghua wants to say, eat you alive, but he cuts himself off because that seems in, poor taste right now. Luo Jiahui finally comes forward to offer the distressed young man a handkerchief for his tears, which he accepts with wide-eyed gratefulness. Zhang Qinghua smiles at his sister-in-law, who's been doing a great job of keeping the protagonist quiet, except for a moment of Luo Bingha politely introducing himself, and Duan Tianyu awkwardly saying hello back to the little boy. And then he snaps his fingers in front of Duan Tianyu's face. No staring! Yes, his sister-in-law is the best person in this world, probably, but they have work to do here. Tell me everything you saw before they knocked you out. So, it looks like Lady Xia and her attendants have taken over the main hall of the House of Rejuvenation. They wouldn't let Duan Tianyu and the Huanhua Palace sect disciples inside to interrupt her health treatments. The attendants managed to redirect the disciples to a different room, where they claimed the mistress of the house was overseeing the preparations of secret medicines. She was not. And the demon attendants jumped them there. Okay, we're going to go in the opposite direction and find the kitchens, Zhang Qinghua decides. Find the service door that's got to be nearby.
The what?
Duan Tianyu says. Places trying to look fancy need a place to bring their radishes in and a place to take their trash out without trekking it through their fancy halls and the front door, Zhang Qinghua explains. We are going to be on the lookout for demons and for any door or windows here. Outside walls or ceilings are good too. Let's not be picky with our exits. Luo Jiahui nods understandingly. Luo Binghe copies his mother. Zhang Qinghua ruffles his nephew's hair, like that'll really help quash the fear coursing through his veins. Good job on being quiet, by the way. Great job so far helping Uncle out. Keep it up. Duan Tianyu gets a spare sword and a spare knife. I'm running low on backup knives, so don't lose it, or I'm making you buy me a new one, Zhang Qinghua says firmly. Like many Anding Peak disciples, who are usually notorious cheapskates, the kid nods fervently. Behind him, Luo Binghe complains to his mother about getting a knife of his own. Everyone else is getting one. Luo Jiahui shushes him. They go back out into the hall and go in the opposite direction, following the path the demon attendants were taking, stepping over the slightly stained floor. A sharp demon nose might be able to pick out the fresh blood, but the effort to hide that probably isn't worth it. Zhang Qinghua leads their little party on his highest alert yet, realizing, with no small amount of internal curse words, that this is a fucking escort mission. This is a stealth escort mission. What a shitty combination. What cruel system came up with that? Especially when, in the distance, somewhere behind them in the inn, they can hear someone banging on a door and yelling to be let out. One of those fancy guests has finally realized they've been locked inside their room. Duan Tianyu immediately moves to go help, but Shang Qinghua clamps down on the kid's shoulder. Fuck no! Duan Tianyu looks bewildered and mutinous. We don't have a good way out yet, and they'll only be in the way until we do, Shang Qinghua hisses. He is not performing anything resembling a customer service role for spoiled rich people in the middle of a stealth escort mission. He doesn't hate himself that much. They're probably safer locked up than tripping around here with us where the demons are. Duan Tianyu reluctantly nods. On that note, down the next hall, Shang Qinghua can hear voices from what looks like the kitchen doorway, which is covered by a split hanging cloth rather than an actual door. He sees a flash of long white robes. He hears the sound of pots and pans and hissing flame. He smells cooking in progress. And he really hopes that it's not human fucking flesh yet. He's probably not that fucking lucky, though. He backtracks and finds another empty room, a little ways back down the hall, for Luo Jiahui and Luo Bingha to stay in. Neither of them look happy about being left behind again, but Luo Jiahui squeezes Shang Qinghua's hand with grim understanding. Shang Qinghua squeezes back, then pats his nephew's fluffy head again, before he slips out to clear the way for them. The hallway they're in now turns right at the end, with the kitchen doorway in the center of the second hallway, and then that second hallway turns right again, so the third hallway runs parallel to the first. The kitchen is at the end of this wing. Another talisman from Shang Qinghua's stash will prevent most sounds from running down the first hallway from the kitchens. Shang Qinghua waves it scoldingly in Duan Tianyu's way too fucking impressed face before planting it. Because this is basic stuff. This is basic toolkit stuff. How does anyone get in their late teens without learning these things? Huanhua Palace sect needs to teach its disciples to spy and sneak properly. This is shameful. He really wishes he had Peng Hung Peng or Lin Wen Jiao here to set a proper example for their elders from other sects. From what Shang Qinghua can tell, trying to peek through the kitchen curtains without being seen, there are at least four demon attendants inside, along with some of the House of Rejuvenation servants. Okay, all right. They can handle that. They have to handle that. He pushes Duan Tianyu back down the hall and explains his plan, picking up a super fugly vase and forcing the kid to pick up one of the hall tables, setting the vase on top of the table where the first and second hallways meet. Then, Shang Qinghua pulls some of the meaner shit from his stash. He sets up a pair of invisible death wires, skips past the kitchen doorway on silent feet, and then looks down the third hallway. No demon attendants. Just the distant sound of trapped human guests banging on their doors. He sets up another sound blocker to keep sounds from the second hallway from traveling down the third. Then sets up another pair of wires, roughly at chest and waist height. Then he looks at Duan Tianyu down the hall, who lifts his chin bravely and nods. Shang Qinghua makes a go motion. Duan Tianyu kicks the super fugly vase so that it goes crashing down the hall, shattering into pieces against the floor, and Shang Qinghua sees the movement in the kitchen stop even before Duan Tianyu shouts, "You'll never take me alive, wretched demon scum!" The kid isn't a totally shit actor. Shang Qinghua will give him that. Duan Tianyu kicks the table into the wall next, the cheap wood splintering on impact, and white-robed demons come running out of the kitchen. Two of them run directly into the wires Shang Ching Hua put up between the kitchen doorway and Duan Tianyu. The wires are very thin, but very strong, and very, very sharp. They're so fucking expensive, and so fucking dangerous. Difficult to implement effectively, but they can really work well. Brutally well. These two demons take their own heads off. A third demon, just behind the first two, just barely manages to duck the first wire, letting out a scream of rage and shock. She lunges for Duan Tianyu and basically bisects herself on the second wire, set at waist height. The fourth demon is carrying a kitchen knife and cuts the wires. Those aren't cheap! Is she gonna pay for that? Then she lunges for Duan Tianyu. The Huanhua Palace sect disciple proves himself not too incompetent after all by blocking her claws with his borrowed sword, then immediately stabbing her in the heart with the borrowed knife he'd been keeping out of sight. The paralysis talisman Shang Chenghua manages to land on her back, maybe helps. The demon lets out a punctured exhale and then collapses at Duan Tianyu's feet. The fifth demon that comes out of the kitchen is, understandably, way more fucking cautious about taking a move, seeing the bodies of her sisters strewn out in front of her. She snarls something at Duan Tianyu before Shang Qinghua's flying sword takes her head off from behind, from the other end of the hall. He recalls his blade to his hand as her body and head hit the ground separately, pretty much exactly in front of the kitchen doorway. The split curtain in the kitchen doorway doesn't reach the floor, so anyone still inside can see for sure at least one decapitated corpse. The dead silence in this hallway probably illustrates the others. Duan Tianyu retrieves his borrowed knife, looking hesitantly hopeful. Shang Qinghua motions for him to wait. Crouching down, he can see one last figure in white robes, hesitant to exit. They step towards the curtain, then they step back, and then back again. "Sisters?" the demon attendant calls. No one answers her. The white robes step further back. "Come out, cultivator, or I will begin slaughtering the servants." Duan Tianyu wavers forward, but Shang Qinghua gestures again for him to stay fucking put. After a moment's thought, he takes down the wires on his side of the hall, because leaving them up is asking for trouble, then removes a talisman from his sleeve and, sword in hand, steps into the kitchen. There's only one demon attendant left in the kitchen. Huddled in the corner, there are about a dozen House of Rejuvenation servants, all trying to keep out of the pacing demon's reach, gathered around a human woman whose much more expensive outfit... Oh, fuck! Her outfit matches the color scheme of this shitty fucking inn. That must be the, elusive mistress of the house, Shang Qinghua presumes. He was kind of assuming she was dead. Holy shit! The woman looks like she can't be much older than 20? Character profile updated. Hu Ziyi. That's probably bad. The demon attendant, holding another scary-looking kitchen knife, gives Shang Qinghua a once-over. Shang Qinghua thinks that she's the one who intervened outside, inviting people inside on Lady Xia's behalf. When the servant at the front door was desperately trying to get everyone to go the fuck away. "The rogue cultivator?" she says. Shang Qinghua trembles, holding the talisman out in front of him like a desperate but determined man. It's not untrue. He is a desperate but determined man. "Stay back, demon! This is a rare purifying talisman from Changchong Mountain Sect itself. Don't make me use it on you and your wicked powers now." The demon attendant looks even more unimpressed and steps forward. In a flailing panic, Shang Qinghua throws the talisman at the demon, who uses the knife she's holding to slice the paper in half. Everyone knows that the fastest way to render most talismans useless is to slice it up, like cutting a wire. There are people who put traps in their talismans, setting them up to explode upon failure. But those are, hard to implement well, and are usually unstable. Most rational people don't want to risk losing half their ass because of some accidental pocket wear and tear. Having mopped up lots of completely avoidable in hindsight or with proper maintenance accidents at Tung Chong Mountain Sect, Shang Qinghua personally has no fucking patience for trapped talismans by cultivators who think they're so fucking clever. Or for poorly made talismans that act like faulty kitchen appliances determined to burn a damn house down. One type of talisman, however, pretty much guarantees an explosive reaction to being cut up, no matter if one intended that or how well made. Storage talismans. The demon attendant cuts up the blood-sucking talisman Shang Qinghua has thrown at her. The folded space bursts open with an air-displacing pop, and she gets a blinding faceful and mouthful, of fresh demon blood. Shang Qinghua dodges her next wild swing of the knife and takes off her head before she can blink the blood out of her eyes. Messy, but, not bad for such a short-notice plan. He looks at the servants, who look shocked but elated. Shang Qinghua feels the same, honestly. He's so fucking glad that worked. So, is that all of them in this part of the inn? Several of them nod frantically. Where's the nearest door to the outside? A couple of them point to one of the doors at the other end of the kitchen. It's locked. The demon took the keys. This one? Shang Qinghua asks, pointing at the corpse at his feet, getting some more nods in return. Not a problem, then. Someone get the keys, then cover the body. I'll be back. Duan Tianyu is hovering outside. Shang Qinghua confirms that the coast is clear and slaps the kid on the shoulder, because he did a pretty good job of being bait there. Shang Qinghua tells him, good job. And the kid looks a little shocked before he beams like no one has ever praised him before in his 20 years of being alive. Shang Qinghua quickly packs up the invisible death wires, which haven't been cut, and then jogs back down the hall to grab Luo Jiahui and Luo Bingha. No one has come running at the commotion. He picks up his nephew and covers the young protagonist's eyes, despite Bingha's protests, stepping over the demon bodies to return to the kitchen. Young Duan Tianyu offers a pale Luo Jiahui his hand, because it's, hard to simultaneously watch where you step and not look down. She accepts with a forced smile. Back inside the kitchen, okay, Shang Qinghua isn't totally sure what's fucking happening here. The House of Rejuvenation servants look alternatively scared or pissed the fuck off, or are just straight on sobbing. Madame Hu is standing in the middle of it all, her courage and dignity quickly regathered, holding slightly bloody keys that she must have scavenged off the demon attendant's corpse. Well, at least someone's thrown a sheet over the dead body. The blood is seeping through, but most of the gruesome sight is hidden. She won't let us leave, one of the servants tattles to Shang Qinghua. These are my keys, Madame Hu snaps. No one may leave until these cultivators have taken care of the demons in my house. Only then will I give over the keys. She's talking as though she thinks this is a fair enough deal. Shang Qinghua is holding his squirming nephew, covering Bingha's eyes, so he can't just blurt out the, "Are you fucking serious?" on the tip of his tongue. Duan Tianyu looks completely boggled, like he's finally realizing how much of a fucking idiot this level of entitlement makes you look like. Luo Jiahui beside him, trembling with the horror of this whole shitty situation, looks furious. Shang Qinghua can totally just pick the lock or kick down the door, But before he can tell Madame Hu that her plan is stupid and her leverage is garbage, Luo Jiahui marches forward. Shang Qinghua's gentle, kindly sister-in-law just grabs the keys out of Madame Hu's hands, and when a shocked Madame Hu tries to snatch them back, Luo Jiahui winds up and smacks the woman across the face, hard enough to send her to the bloody floor. "How dare you?" Madame Hu cries, a hand to her reddened cheek. "How dare you?" Luo Jiahui snaps back. Madame Hu pulls herself back to her feet and, flushed with rage, grabs a poker from the fireplace. "Holy shit!" Shang Qinghua quickly puts his squirming nephew down, but not before Madame Hu swings it madly at his sister-in-law. Duan Tianyu moves forward too late. One of the servants cries out for their mistress to stop, and Luo Jiahui just catches the hot poker with her bare hand. Holy shit! Luo Jiahui doesn't call herself a cultivator. She's definitely not a warrior, and Shang Qinghua doubts she'll ever willingly wield a sword. But all those cheating power-ups and all that practice with Granny's son is clearly paying off. Shang Qinghua has seen her stick her hands into boiling water before while she's cooking. Luo Jiahui's hand is glistening with a thin layer of spiritual energy as she firmly yanks the hot poker out of Madame Hu's hand. Madame Hu's grip is slack with shock. Luo Jiahui tosses the hot poker aside. Then the spiritual energy disperses, and Shang Qinghua's gentle, kindly sister-in-law punches her ex-boss's wife squarely in the nose. Shang Qinghua is willing to bet, as Madame Hu gets laid out a second time, that Granny's son taught her that one too. "Is there any rope in here?" Shang Qinghua asks. One of the servants points them towards some of their rope. Shang Qinghua has his own, yeah, but his frugal nature is really not enjoying this mission's expenses so far. And he quickly ties the stunned Madame Hu's hands together before she can make any more bad decisions. Luo Jiahui takes the key ring towards the door and unlocks it. Some of the servants stream out immediately into the sunlight, but a few of them linger, like they want to see what happens next or don't have anywhere else to go. That's fine by Shang Qinghua, really, because he has questions for these people. So does Luo Jiahui, apparently, who returns to Madame Hu and demands, "Where is my sister? Where is Feng Fan Li?" "You've ruined everything," Madame Hu moans. "I knew you would, you stupid girls." The lingering servants shuffle like they know something. Shang Qinghua reaches out to touch his sister-in-law's arm before his gentle, kindly sister-in-law in Mama Bear rage mode can throttle the woman. "Jiahui," he says softly, "I'll take care of it. You and Bingha need to go now." This is when Bingha screams. Shang Qinghua and Luo Jiahui both whirl around. One of the demon attendants is in the doorway, white robes drenched with blood from the open wound in her chest. It's not a new demon attendant. It's the one who cut through the wires to attack Duan Tianyu. The same one who got stabbed through the heart not even 5 minutes ago. She's got her knife in bloody hand, and she's going for Luo Bingha, and Shang Qinghua is moving too fucking slowly. It's like the world has slowed down in horror of the fact that it might very well implode if that demon's knife lands in his nephew's chest. And then a hefty pot tumbles off a high shelf and conveniently hits the demon on the head. The flow of time rushes forward again. Shang Qinghua scoops his nephew out of the way as Duan Tianyu takes off the demon's head. Shang Qinghua, shielding his screaming nephew from the sight, sprints out the open back door. Luo Jiahui is hot on his heels. When Shang Qinghua lets Bingha go, mother and son launch themselves at each other. Jiahui with a cry of relief, and Bingha just crying.
"I don't want to have any more adventure."
is the most intelligible thing that Luo Bing has sobs into his mother's shoulder. I want to go home. Ah, the curse of the protagonist. Once again, Shang Cheng Hua feels like the scummiest person alive. Fuck you, Shang Cheng Hua thinks at the system, though he's never agreed more that he totally deserves the point loss. Bing He is a kid. The system should leave Shang Cheng Hua's nephew alone and let his life turn out by itself. If Luo Bing He wants to open a restaurant someday instead of being Demon Emperor, he should get to do that. The system can just put up with an abrupt shift in genre. Fuck cultivation novels. Proud Immortal Demon Way can be a slice-of-life comedy about a half-demon chef now. No power struggles except over the dinner menu. No scum villains except merchants who charge too much for shitty radishes. No eternal abyss except for the never-ending line of customers. Shang Cheng Hua's heart feels like it's going to explode, if the world's not going to implode. Fuck, that was close. That was too fucking close. Shang Cheng Hua sends a message talisman to Tang Chong Mountain Sect, with only a small hope that it'll survive the journey and no hope that it'll make it there anytime soon. And another to Huanhua Palace Sect. He promises Luo Jiahui that he will find Feng Fanli and get to the bottom of this. And he promises Luo Binghe, who also doesn't want Shang Cheng Hua to return to the House of Rejuvenation, that he'll be all right. The situation is still immensely shitty, but with his family out, it's slightly less immensely shitty. Luo Jiahui promises that she'll warn the town and try to find a messenger of her own to go in person. Duan Tianyu looks just about ready to sob with relief at the fact that Shang Cheng Hua isn't just leaving him now. Shang Cheng Hua, on the other hand, has a bone to pick with this kid. That never would have happened if Duan Tianyu had done the safe thing and aimed to decapitate.
Master Shang, look.
Duan Tianyu has lifted up the sheet thrown over the demon attendant who Shang Cheng Hua killed last. The head of the demon is, well, it still looks dead. But it's also very, very slowly inching its way back towards the body. Holy fucking shit! Shang Cheng Hua goes to check on the scene of carnage outside the kitchen and... oh, fuck. Yup, the sliced-up demon bodies are trying to slowly pull themselves back together, too. Shang Cheng Hua already fucking hated this situation, but he really loathes things that don't fucking die by decapitation. OP bullshit! That's some OP bullshit!
Master Shang, what do we do?
Duan Tianyu asks. Shang Cheng Hua takes a deep breath, regrets it immediately, and then chokes out,
burn them, cleanse the ashes, then scatter the ashes.
Will that kill them?
If it doesn't, the likelihood of all those ashes actually pulling together again are low enough that it doesn't actually matter, so who cares?
Shang Cheng Hua has the tools for cremation, but doesn't want to start burning shit yet. So he points at another door that looks like it might be a pantry of some kind. What's in there? The servant he's looking at makes a face. Shang Cheng Hua goes over, opens the door, and also makes a face. Ah, this pantry is filled with more dead bodies. All right. Shang Cheng Hua has gotten used to dead bodies in this miserable second life of his, but that doesn't mean he doesn't still hate dealing with them. The smell is, more often than not, vile. Most of the bodies, he notices, look like they might as well have passed away in their sleep from old age, except for the one at the front. It's been 5 years, and it still takes him a second. But Shang Cheng Hua recognizes Luo Jiahui's ex-boss. Good old Master Gao looks about 20 years younger, and also like something with very sharp claws tore his throat out a couple of days ago. All right. Okay. Character profile updated. Gao Xiong.
Xiangqing Hua clears his throat and, hoping that he doesn't sound like he wants to throw up, says, "Let's throw the heads in here for now. I don't want to set this place on fire yet. We'll save burning this place to the ground for later."
"You can't do this," Madame Hu rages, as they go ahead and do it.
"Ignore her," Xiangqing Hua tells Duan Tianyu.
"We weren't doing anything wrong. We paid people. They were willing," she weeps. "It's an honor for a servant to give their life for their master. An honor for a wife to spend her life serving her husband. An honor for a daughter to share some of her youth with the mother who gave her her life in the first place."
Xiangqing Hua is trying not to throw up, and this is not helping.
Duan Tianyu doesn't manage to keep his stomach steady. As soon as they've tossed the last demon head into the pantry and closed the door, the kid grabs the nearest empty pot and vomits into it. Xiangqing Hua pats the poor kid's back. Then he goes over and stands over someone who might actually be one of the scummiest villains in the entire world of Proud Immortal Demon Way.
"Shut the fuck up," he says, "or I'll throw you in there too."
He looks at the lingering servants and notices that most of them skew towards looking like they're in their late 50s or older. He's having lots of thoughts right now that he doesn't fucking want to be having. Xiangqing Hua really wants to just walk out that open back door right now and not come back ever. But instead, he asks the servants to spill everything that is really fucking wrong with this place. He curses his shitty fucking memory when the servants tell him that the House of Rejuvenation uses a pair of demonic artifacts to steal one person's youth and give it to another person. That's his shitty plotline. He wrote that bullshit. Fuck. He really didn't want to be right about it being human cauldrons happening here. He would really like to stop being right anytime now. Anytime would be good. A pair of Lady Xia's attendants came in to investigate the House of Rejuvenation in disguise about a month ago, left again as happy customers, and have now returned with their mistress and the whole pack of demons for treatment. A handful of them took over the House of Rejuvenation fully only a couple of days ago, in preparation for Lady Xia's arrival, which Xiangqing Hua is absolutely sure he did not write. There were 20 attendants in total, 12 now by Xiangqing Hua's count, plus Lady Xia, and the majority of them should still be in the main hall now.
"They said we had to obey them or they'd kill us," one of the servants sobs.
Xiangqing Hua's pity here is limited, when he has no idea how complicit these people were in what their scum employers were doing before the demons showed up.
"Is there a girl named Feng Fanli here?"
"No," Madame Hu says. Without looking, Xiangqing Hua points his sword at her in warning. "Yes," one of the servants admits, hanging their head. "She's locked in one of the rooms on the far side of the inn."
"She wouldn't stop bothering Master Gao," another servant offers. "He didn't want to talk to her. He told her to go away, but she kept coming back and trying to sneak in. And then, when she found out too much, she threatened him. And Master Gao knew that her sister had left with a cultivator."
Xiangqing Hua closes his eyes and swallows his heart. "Fuck," he thinks. He doesn't know what else he can say. Why didn't it occur to him that the wealthy family Luo Jiahui served and the wealthy family the protagonist would thwart in a future return to Lin Luo Town plotline might be made to be the same family? Why wouldn't the sort of scum villain man who takes advantage of poor washerwomen and the sort of scum villain woman who steals youth get married to each other? Shang Jinghua doesn't see a potential innocent daughter or stepdaughter or justice-seeking cultivator wife character around the House of Rejuvenation yet. But there's a couple of decades for that to happen, isn't there? Master Gao could have died and Madame Hu could have gotten remarried. Implying that the evil stepmother character murdered her first husband sounds like a him thing to do. Hey, system, he thinks in the back of his mind. Don't be cheap. Blending scum villain families like this. You could have not been cheap about this, you know. He should have had Master Gao killed all those years ago. Maybe that hack called airplane shooting towards the sky was right. What does mercy get you? The servants can provide him with an actual layout of the House of Rejuvenation, how many people are in the building and where they all are, and all the useful stuff Shang Qinghua had originally hoped Duan Tianyu might know. It makes planning the next moves here in this shitty fucking situation much easier. Two of the servants, who claim to be recently and unwillingly brought on to this place, even volunteer to come with Shang Qinghua and Duan Tianyu as they travel back through the House of Rejuvenation. An older woman and an older man, called Qiang and Bao. Shang Qinghua forgets their names almost immediately. He and Duan Tianyu travel ahead, scouting their path, putting down sound blockers at the end of hallways, while the servants unlock the doors and direct angry guests and their servants back towards the kitchen and the exit. Shang Qinghua remembers the first two demons he killed, who ought to be trying to pull themselves back together in the room he threw them into, partway through his rescue endeavor. The man they've just freed from his room, Dr. Xu, volunteers to help the servants take care of the issue immediately. Shang Qinghua is considering the offer when one elderly gentleman who can't read the fucking room tries to march past Duan Tianyu in an angry huff, determined to find and speak to the House of Rejuvenation's owners about this absolutely horrendous service. The man refuses to listen to Duan Tianyu urgently telling him that he cannot do that right now, sir. So, in a panic, the disciple just paralyzes the fellow with the talisman, leaving the gentleman's wide-eyed servants to carry him away. Duan Tianyu looks horrified at himself, but Shang Qinghua just laughs. That's exactly what half of my disciples would do, Shang Qinghua says, more tired than amused. The other half would just helpfully tell him Madame Hu can be found in the kitchens, probably. Important lesson there. Learn to lie without lying. Ah, come on. It's all downhill again from here. The rest of the Huanhua Palace sect disciples are being guarded by two demon attendants, who are paying half-hearted attention to their prisoners, rather than anyone coming to free them. Duan Tianyu takes vindictive pleasure in making the demon attendants regret assuming he'd been turned into Lady Xia's next meal by now. Duan Tianyu's shirdi are all overjoyed to see him again as he frees them, the youngest of them actually weeping for joy. This is Master Shang, one of the Peak Lords from Tiangchong Mountain Sect. He saved my life and we're evacuating the inn through the kitchens, Duan Tianyu introduces with no small amount of reverence. The Huanhua Palace Sect disciples all look towards Shang Qinghua with a mixture of shock and awe, as Duan Tianyu gives them a quick rundown of the situation. Fuck, it's a sad situation where Shang Qinghua is the most impressive person in the room. Either his standards have been bumped up too high, hanging around so many lofty peak lords, or these Huanhua Palace sect disciples falling all over themselves to bow to him right now are too young and too easily impressed. Stop that, Shang Qinghua says wearily. Where are your weapons? The disciples report that they don't know where their swords and pouches were taken. Shang Qinghua is not impressed. No hidden knives, no backup talismans, no wires disguised as jewelry, no hair ornaments that double as knives. Living on Anding Peak for so long has for sure done something to Shang Qinghua's standards of resourcefulness, he thinks, As the Huanhua Palace sect disciples hang their heads in shame at only being able to give negative answers, Shangqing Hua hands out some of his backup knives and darts and such. Duan Tianyu promises very prettily and earnestly that they'll take Immortal Master Shang's wisdom to heart for all future endeavors. Shangqing Hua resists the urge to sniff at them and say that he'll believe it when he sees it. A thought which makes him think, fuck, I've been hanging out with Ti Ching Ti too much. Which is just a totally wild thought to have now, given that Ti Ching Ti's first impression of him all those years ago, which persisted until very recently, seemed to be, why is this man-shaped rat talking to me? She still gets that face sometimes. Oh, he understands his ascended master a little better now. Sure, you need some disciples who are just happy to be there, grateful to be a part of the day-in, day-out. But you need some clever and sneaky ones, too, even if they're hard-to-handle little shits most of the time. Even if they keep coming up with so-clever-it's-actually-very-stupid schemes. Because they really do seem to have a better chance of lasting longer in this overdramatic world. The main hall of the House of Rejuvenation has two levels, which makes it easy to sneak up to the second story and survey the boss fight. Lady Xia is in the center of the hall, sitting on a makeshift lounge, being attended by six of her attendants. Two attendants are trimming the 3-inch claws of each hand, two rubbing her feet and legs, and two are brushing her floor-length white hair. Lady Xia is... Shangqing Hua is going to go out and guess that she's not a wife character, because she's old. Like, she looks like a shriveled corpse. Is she even alive? Shangqing Hua assumes so, but just by looking, he would not be able to tell. Character profile updated. Elder Lady Xia. Oh, fuck. He thinks he recognizes her character now. She's an extremely old demon who used to be extremely powerful and wanted to live and rule the world forever. Except when she was blessed to have eternal life, she was also cursed to be without eternal youth. Or something like that. Which she has clearly managed to share to some degree with her servants. She wanted... Well, now she clearly wants to be young again, so... Shangqing Hua mentally flips through eternal youth plot lines. Oh, she wanted the protagonist to bring her a rare plant that would return her youth or something like that. Maybe a shiny rock? Maybe fountain water? Who knows? If she'd gotten back her youth, she might have actually been powerful enough to challenge the protagonist and become Demon Empress. However, Shangqing Hua is 100% sure that, as is the case with all of Luo Bingha's enemies, that plot ended badly for her instead. It makes a lot of sense that Elder Lady Xia would be attracted to a place like the House of Rejuvenation, except she's from a completely different fucking plot line, so what the fuck is she doing here now? Hey, system bro, is it really too much to ask that you keep the plot lines separated? Shangqing Hua thinks, outraged. Really, fuck you. Do your job. Don't let plot lines combine. Cursing the system, unfortunately, will not get this shitty mission over with any faster. Shangqing Hua scopes out the remaining demon attendants. Two are admiring the golden masks on a table at the far end of the hall, while the remaining two are just standing around and talking. These four can probably be picked off, but the six in the middle with Lady Xia are probably going to be troublesome. One of the demon attendants gets sent off to check on Lady Xia's meal. Shangqing Hua has clearly trained Duan Tianyu well, because the Huanhua Palace sect disciple demonstrates a very nice stealthy takedown for his junior martial siblings. Some noisy banging and shouting about getting some damn service around here. Duan Tianyu's best friend apparently has a flair for the dramatic and, in another life, would have had a career as a voice actor, gets the two demon attendants admiring the golden masks sent to go shut up the rude humans disturbing Lady Xia's rest. This takedown, unfortunately, isn't quite so stealthy. One of the demon attendants gets a warning shriek out that carries back to the main hall. This puts the remaining seven on alert. Fuck. One of the demon attendants combing Lady Xia's hair stands up to investigate, along with the two who were tending to her feet. Shang Qinghua has to hustle back downstairs, silently, silently, to support the hiding Huanhua Palace sect disciples, who probably aren't ready to deal with three, and spends some of his good poison darts saving their asses. The poison darts, which could probably stun even Mo Bei Jun, at least for 5 minutes, are followed, of course, by some hasty decapitation for good measure. He's going to fucking bill Huanhua Palace sect when this shit is over, he promises himself. He's going to send over an itemized damn invoice, including emotional damages and his personal babysitting fee for this. He sort of gives up on perfect stealth after that, and has the Huanhua Palace sect disciples take cover instead. Lady Xia's remaining four attendants have gathered protectively around her, with two of them on guard and two others patting her soothingly. Unfortunately for them, Shang Qinghua has a bottle of Fire Eater sword cleaning solution and a claw from a firebird, and absolutely no problem ruining the House of Rejuvenation's main hall's decorations. He drops the claw in the bottle, shakes, then lobs the bomb into Lady Xia's lap below. Will this create a continuity error later? Will two plot lines never happen now because Madame Hu isn't going to get to keep her business and Lady Xia is going to die? Will completing this shitty fucking mission actually lose Shang Qinghua points in the future? He does not fucking care. As a side note, is it weird that he rates a lot of weapons and tricks based on whether or not they'd give Mo Bei Jun pause? The boom that follows shakes the building. Shang Qinghua, taking cover, doesn't see the fireball, but he feels its heat. After that, it's a matter of dropping down into the main hall, stepping over the flaming pillows and assorted luggage, and performing some proper decapitations for good measure. Some fires need to be put out. Pretty anticlimactic as far as boss fights go, to be honest. But that's totally Shang Qinghua's preference. The Huanhua Palace sect disciples are ecstatic to have defeated the demons. They're grateful to Shang Qinghua, of course, but also young and caught up in their own relief at having survived. Duan Tianyu scolds them and tells them to get to work actually making sure that the semi-immortal demons stay dead. Duan Xixiong, the masks, one of the disciples cries, delighted at their prize. Shang Qinghua spots the brat already reaching for them. Don't touch that, Shang Qinghua barks. His serious shifu voice must be getting pretty good, because all of the Huanhua Palace sect disciples jump and stand a little straighter. Holy shit, Shang Qinghua really has a bone to pick with their teachers. A lot of them. Why was don't fucking touch unknown demonic shit not beaten into their little heads? Fuck, he feels old. Duan Tianyu approaches the intricate golden masks, which have been knocked to the floor, more carefully. The young man inspects the demonic artifacts without touching them. One of the golden masks has an ominous laughing face, while the other has a frightening crying face. And both of them send a shiver down Shang Qinghua's spine. An inanimate object giving off an aura of menace, of resentment, of pain. Well, that's a real fucking thing in this shitty world. And it's a real fucking thing right now with those things. Duan Tianyu stomps on the crying face and it cracks in half. Some of the older Huanhua Palace sect disciples gasp. Duan Tianyu stomps on the laughing face next, giving it the same treatment. And all a stunned Shang Qinghua can think is, wait, what the fuck? Those terrible things shouldn't exist in this world. Duan Tianyu announces to the others with a sort of shaky determination. He looks towards Xiang Qinghua for approval, while the other disciples stare in disbelief. Airplane shooting towards the sky nods back, a little helplessly. The kid isn't... Well, he's not exactly wrong. What follows is something to which Xiang Qinghua is no stranger. Cleanup. He wishes he and Cleanup didn't know each other so well, honestly. A disciple who is determined to be the fastest flyer among them is sent to inform Huan Hua Palace Sect of what happened here, so they can, among other things, see to it that Madame Hu doesn't just get away with everything that happened here. The remaining Huan Hua Palace Sect disciples start taking the demons outside to be burned. With Duan Tianyu determined to burn the House of Rejuvenation's demonic artifacts alongside them. You'll need to make sure that no one makes off with the demon's possessions, Xiang Qinghua tells Duan Tianyu, who's actually taking notes now. Someone always tries to steal it and sell it, and then someone inevitably gets cursed by demonic crap they bought in a junk shop. Always. Oh, someone should go right now to make sure that Madame Hu or a servant isn't destroying any records the House of Rejuvenation keeps. You'll want their books. Trust me. If they don't have thorough paperwork or their books are in code, probably to protect their shitty clients, you're going to want to start making your own log of the people involved here. The families of the victims will need to be informed. Try to round up all the servants you can, because the servants really do know a lot. Always do. And don't just let the guests leave, either. Find out what they know. There's going to be a lot of resentment to unpack, and cleansing rituals to perform here. He really doesn't envy Huan Hua Palace Sect the cleanup. He doesn't really think that Yue Qingyuan will want to fight them for jurisdiction, because this is a train wreck even before the crossing plot lines. And he doesn't think he'll personally be pushing Jiangmen Shixiang to get involved. Jiangchang Mountain Sect is too busy. Sucks to be you, Huanhua Palace Sect. Good luck. Duan Tianyu looks totally overwhelmed. But things are more or less in hand for now. And the kid doesn't object to Xiang Qinghua finally going to help the person he's actually here to help. Oh, of course, Master Xiang. You and your martial sister must be worried sick about her poor Shirmei. I don't know what we would have done without you. Get eaten? Xiang Qinghua's unhelpful mind supplies. But of course I cannot keep you from your important secret mission, Duan Tianyu insists, though he keeps pouring on the eternal gratitude until Xiang Qinghua just up and flees from the flattery. The servants who have stayed are still freeing the remaining confused, angry, and terrified guests, whose level of ignorance here is super questionable. One of the guests tries to grab Xiang Qinghua for a proper explanation, and he tells them to go fuck themselves, which isn't so much satisfying. Usually he loves telling entitled clients to go fuck themselves, as it is just plain bitter. Before asking one of the other servants to reconfirm the directions he was given. He's a cultivator with a desk job, and he's had to do way too much physical dirty work today. It should have been anyone else dealing with this, probably. At least it's over now. On the far side of the inn, Xiang Qinghua finds a locked door to a small room. He doesn't have the keys on him, but the lock isn't hard to pick. Even though he feels drained. It's dark inside the room, with a figure of a small adult curled up on a pallet, who shifts when he slowly opens the door. Ah. An old woman looks up at him. She looks nearly 70 years old, though this world makes that sort of thing difficult to judge. The old woman's eyes are wide and scared and look pretty much exactly like Luo Jiahui's eyes. Shit. The old woman sits up and says, "Guh, guh, guh, is that you?" Xiangqing Hua assumes that it's the backlighting at first and introduces himself, explaining that he's here to help, only for the old woman to give him an extremely confused and distressed look. Then he tells her that he's a friend of Jia Hui, and the old woman lights up. It makes asking her for her name extra pointless. Character profile updated. Feng Fanli. He offers to carry her out, but Feng Fanli is determined to go meet her sister under her own power. She lets him help her up, though, and clings to his arm for support. She's been looking for her big sister for so long, she tells him. She's so glad that her big brother finally found her, she tells him. All right. Okay. Xiangqing Hua pats his little sister-in-law on the arm and doesn't correct her. Yeah, he's the worst person in this world. For sure.